My dear brothers and sisters, if you go to Jerusalem today and you approach the Temple Mount, you will find that Jesus' prophecy in today's gospel has been fulfilled. There is not a stone standing upon another stone. Nothing is left of the great temple of Jerusalem. When people speak of going to the Wailing Wall, that is simply a retaining wall for the hill, not the wall of the temple. The temple is gone. Jesus' words have been proved true. And that's the only way that you can find out if someone is a true prophet or a false prophet. Does their prophecy come true? And that's why it's so often only with hindsight that we can tell a true prophet from a false prophet. For example, last year, someone came to me and they said to me, "Father, we know that you don't like conspiracy theories." What do you think the next word was? "But." And they proceeded to tell me that they had learned from some internet source that this coming week, the 3 days of darkness were going to happen. Now, mind you, that was a year ago. And for those who don't know what the 3 days of darkness are, it's a certain theory, it's not scriptural, that something about the way that the end times will unfold. And the week came, and the sun rose, and the sun set in the way that it does every normal day. There were no 3 days of darkness that week. So I don't want to belittle the person who brought that to me. They had a sincere desire to make sure that I would be prepared as they want to be prepared if the end was coming. That's a noble thing. But what I did say to them was, delete that website. Do not ever consult it again. And the problem with the internet is there are lots of things being thrown out there, lots of theories about, oh yeah, Jesus is coming this week. No, next week. No, it's going to happen in this way. No, it's going to happen that way. Stop. To be concerned about the coming of Jesus, great. Great. But not in this panicked and fearful way, always seeking for some secret knowledge about when it's going to happen. What does the scripture say? No man knows the day nor the hour. In modern translation, no website will give you the day nor the hour. All right then. We should be prepared. We're coming to the end of the church's liturgical year, and the readings are telling us and the prayers are telling us we should be prepared. It is true. The Lord who said the temple would be destroyed also said that he will come again. His prophecy of the temple was true. His prophecy about coming again is true. And I think that everyone is going to say exactly the same thing. The response of every single person will be the same when Jesus appears as judge at the end. Some people, though, will say it with a different inflection. Some people will say, "Ah, we thought you'd never come." And others will say, "Ah, we thought you'd never come." Are we looking forward to the Lord's return? Or are we dreading it? That's the question. And once we have the right question, how do we answer it? How do we get prepared? Because he is coming. It's really simple. First, stay in the state of grace. If we're in the state of grace, It doesn't matter if he comes today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or next century. If I'm in the state of grace, I'm ready. He might even come before the end of this two-hour homily. You'd only hope so. And if we stumble, get back into the state of grace. Make confession a regular part of your spiritual life. Don't postpone it. Don't commit a mortal sin and go, well, Advent's only a few weeks away. I'll wait and go before Christmas. No. No. Stay in the state of grace or go to confession if you stumble into mortal sin. It's that simple. But it's a two-step process. The second part is this. How to be ready? Keep holy the Lord's day. I've heard that somewhere before. Oh yes, it's one of the top 10. Keep holy the Lord's day. In fact, when the Ten Commandments were given, that day was Saturday, the Sabbath. But Jesus, by his resurrection, has made this day holy. This is the Lord's day. And by meditating upon his resurrection, we prepare ourselves for eternal life. Keep holy the Lord's day. Now, that sounds like an order. In fact, it is. But part of our problem is we look upon the Lord's Day as an obligation. We look at the Lord's Day as something of a burden rather than a gift. Jesus has gifted us this day. It is not a burden. But we don't live it right all too often. So how can we do better? Let's think of the Lord's Day not as a day of obligation. Certainly there is an obligation to attend Sunday Mass. But some people unfortunately think, check the box, I'm there, did that, I'm done. No. Keep holy the Lord's day, not 1 hour of that day. So what do we do? Look upon this day as a day of communion. Oh yeah, I'll go to Holy Communion. I'm in a state of grace. I'm going to go to Holy Communion. Check the box. No. Look upon the whole day as a day of communion. Communion simply means union with. So look upon the day as a day of union with God, but also a day of union with family and friends. A day of union with the church, our spiritual family. What are all the ways that we can unpack today as a day of union with God, friends, family, fellow parishioners? It's different if we look at it that way. Because sadly, all too often, Sunday is not a preparation for eternal life. Sunday is a preparation for Monday. How upside down that is. God, when he created the world, he did not give us a weekend. Sunday is the first day of the week. It is the day from which everything else flows. It's not a catch-up day. That Friday night and Saturday we have fun. Oh, Sunday, we got to pack in all of our chores and things to get ready for Monday. That's backwards. And that does not help us prepare for Jesus' second coming. Sunday is a day not to turn our homes into a monastery. That becomes something oppressive to ourselves and most especially to our young people. But it is a day of prayer, not just the prayer of the Mass, but prayer at home as well. If I don't have time to pray during the week, then I should make extra time on Sunday. If we don't pray together as a family every day, then we should pray as a family on Sunday. If I don't read the Bible every day, then I should make time to read the Bible on Sunday. If I don't ever do any spiritual reading during the week, I should make time to do spiritual reading on Sunday without the day in my home becoming a monastery. Oh, but it sounds like that, Father. Stop. Is your home a stadium? No. Why would I say that? Because many of you this afternoon will spend 3 hours watching a football game. And if someone to say to you, you must watch your favorite team's sporting event, you don't go, oh no. You go, oh yes. And yet if someone were to say to you, instead of 3 hours watching the Vikings, and they've won how many Super Bowls? Someone to say to you, spend 3 hours with Jesus who is victorious over the entire world. You'd go, 3 hours. Right. What does that say? It says we've been having lip service. It says that we have not entered into the fullness of the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with us. Now, don't go from, I never pray except for Sunday Mass, to I'm doing 3 hours of prayer a day. No. But begin. Take 10 minutes a day. And after a while, maybe you can up that 10 minutes to a half an hour. Maybe once a week you can commit to an hour of adoration in our Eucharistic chapel. But make time for God. Because we waste time in so many ways. We waste time on the internet. We waste time on so many different levels. Can we not waste time with God? And especially Sunday, can we spend this day in his presence? During the COVID shutdown, some people told me they found a blessing, a silver lining, that they had never had family meals because someone's at soccer, someone's at ballet, someone's at basketball, someone's at this, that, and the other, and they're all scattered in so many different directions. And they said they went from never having a family meal to having family breakfast, family lunch, family dinner every day. And they were pleased. It did good things for their family. And I asked them 6 months later, so how's it going? Oh, it's back to the way it was before. No! That was too costly a lesson to not learn from. So if you find your lives going in so many different directions as a family, take Sunday together. Invest in one another. Delight in one another. Why are there so many strains on our families? Because we don't invest in one another. All these things we can do on the day the Lord gives us, unless we spend that day like every other day. It's supposed to be a day of rest. Why is burnout such a tremendous problem in our society? Because we don't accept the day of rest that the Lord has given us. Don't tell me you enjoy mowing the lawn. All right? You may enjoy tending the roses. But I have yet to meet someone who really enjoys mowing the lawn. Sunday is not a day for menial labor. Sunday is not a day for catch-up chores. That's all about this world. We're supposed to be using Sunday to get ready for eternal life. Maybe Great Aunt Matilda is in the nursing home, and you say, oh, yeah, we need to get to see her sometime, but oh, this is never time. Stop. Sunday is a day for the corporal works of mercy. Go spend 3 hours with Great Aunt Matilda, because she is at least as important as a football game. And you can't mow your yard, but you know what? The little old lady up the street who has no one to mow hers, you can go mow hers. Because that's a work of mercy. Don't say you don't have time for works of mercy. The Lord gives us this day. And we should use it well. Because it helps us to prepare for eternal life. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus will return. And if I'm so busy clinging to everything of the world, I'm not going to be ready. But if I use the Lord's Day every week to let go, to be detached from all of the world, then that will help me to be prepared when the Lord comes. For we should not dread His coming. He loves us. And He would want to be greeted with love, not with dread. This is our faith, that our true home is in heaven, that Jesus wants to share His victory over death with us. Let's manage some eagerness. Let's manage to reorder our priorities and make space for the things that help us to get ready for eternal life. And then we will smile and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come."